feeling. I was ministering to the women in the jail on Monday, right before we did our senior meal route. And by the way, we're going to have goulash tomorrow for the seniors. We are feeding about 215 elderly every single week, and that's a blessing to be able to do. I'm always just so amazed at what God does. God can do anything with anybody that'll let Him. God can do anything with anybody that will let Him.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's such an honor to be able to feed the elderly. But I am the chaplain director for the Logan County Jail. And so I try to be there for those women every week. I have missed several weeks. But last Monday, I woke up and I felt like I really needed to be there. And so as I walked through to the girls, I could just feel a lack of hope. And I began to speak to them, and out of my mouth came something that I even wasn't expecting. And the common theme, it just seemed like for that day, was don't make the past your goal. Don't make the past your goal. And so many times we're looking at our life and we're saying, if I could just get back to where I used to be, if I could just have what I used to have, if things could just get back to somewhat of a normal. And we look at our lives and we compare where we are at now to where we used to be. And the challenge for today is going to be, God can do more. He can do more than that. And so I was ministering to the ladies, and I said to this one little sweet girl, I said, you know, don't make the past your goal. She kept saying, if I could just be where I used to be. She had been clean and sober for 10 years and then a relapse right there. And, you know, God will meet you in the middle of wherever you're at. So many people have heard bad messages from dumb pastors saying you got to do all these things to just have God love you. Well, you don't. God loves you, and the love is unconditional. And He's not ever leaving you. He's never forsaking you. He'll always be with you. And so I encourage you to entertain the idea that God can do better than what you've had in the past.
Yes.
Go with me to Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And you know, there's so many times in our life where we feel an urgency. Maybe we feel a tug. We feel like God is directing us to do something, and we're willing to do it, but just not when God says to do it. When you hear His voice, when you feel His presence, do what He tells you to do. Follow God. And one of the things that I've learned just as being a believer for many, many years, 32 years, is that there's a price for following God. There's a price, and people don't understand that. Following God is going to sometimes single you out. Sometimes it's going to be a very lonely place because you're going to have to stand up for what God wants in your life, and people won't like it. There's a cost for following Him. And He told this man, you know, follow me. And he said, well, I will, but I've got to do something first. There's never anything more important than you doing what God told you to. There's never anything more important than doing what God told you to do. And sometimes our lives get off track because we went chasing squirrels. Is anybody, you got little squirrels in your brain sometimes, and you start chasing things, and you start going in directions, and it's like the other day I went to the kitchen, and I was looking for something, and then by the time I get in the kitchen, I don't know what I was there for or what I was looking for. And so then I started doing something else. And then I realized what I went in the kitchen for. And it's just all these things. And so I urge you to understand that, you know what, there's nothing more important than your life than doing what God told you to do, being where he called you to be.
Amen.
And so it says, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." I look at the plow like our life with Jesus. And whatever has gone on in your life, even if you were a believer when it went on, there's no time like the present. And if the devil can keep you in regret, bad decisions, things that you regret, if he can keep you some way in the past, he will. And what you have to be willing to do is just say, "God, I'm going to put my hand on the plow, and I'm just not going to look back." Everybody has something in the past they're not proud of, they don't like, they're hurt over. There's so many people that live with hurt, that there's something there inside of them that they can't just seem to get past. Many, many people struggle with that. And what I want to tell you this morning is that, you know what? Allow God to level up your life. Whatever your past was, God can improve it. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 69. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And here's David. And I love David because David just kept it real. And I love people that can just keep it real. One minute he was up, the next minute he was down. One minute he's having an affair with Bathsheba, the next minute he's having King Solomon, and King Solomon was, you know, one of the most amazing kings in the Bible. There's just so much in David's life that we can all take away from it. But David, he knew how to do something so well. He knew how to get with God. And it says, Psalms chapter 69, verses 1 through 3, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God." How many of you ever felt like you're drowning in your problems? They ain't leaving. They just seem like if they're doing anything, they're multiplying. And that's very disheartening. And so a lot of times what we do in the middle of having that pity party for ourselves and thinking we've got so much stuff that's going on, it doesn't seem like anything's going to get any better, we start telling ourselves, and everybody talks to themselves. Y'all ever admit, you never realize how much you talk to yourself? I was just like this morning, I was sitting there thinking, "Kelly, shut up. My God, girl, just shut it." Anybody else wake in a weird mood today? You just kind of, you don't know how you're going to be today. It could really go either way. Well, that's how I woke up feeling today. But everybody talks to themselves. And many times when we're talking to ourselves and we're going through something that's really got a hold of us and we're having trouble with it, many times we'll say, "If I can just have what I used to have. If things in life could just be what they used to be."
Yeah.
And folks, I'm telling you, God can do more than what you used to have.
Amen.
He can do better.
Amen.
He can do better. Don't make the past your goal, because when we do that, we put a limit on the blessings that can come into our life. There's things that God wants to give us, and we're so focused on what we used to have that we don't even want the better thing. We just want what we used to have because it's comfortable. Because it's comfortable. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1 in the King James Version. Verse 1, Here's David again. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. But did you catch the part where it says, Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress? What does that mean? God did something greater. He put him in a bigger environment. He did more in the middle of the distress. Many times, the very battle or the very trial that you're in, God wants to bless you right up in that thing.
Yes.
With some of your biggest blessings.
Yes.
How many of you remember the great old pandemic?
Yes.
That's a joke. I mean, we all remember it. We're all like have PTSD over some part of the pandemic and the COVID, right? The COVID had a lot of negative aspects, but what I can tell you is that it, in the very, very beginning years of my pastorship, it began to shape things about me that could have never happened without something so dramatic and so big. It made me look at humanity and just say, you know what? We're all the same. Everybody's just a person here. We're all people. We're all in it together. Don't matter if you like folks. Don't matter if you don't like them. We're all living life down here. And when you can look at it like that, you realize that, you know what? Everybody has problems. Everybody has things that come up. We've all got situations. We all have a tendency to want to look back and say, I just wish that things were like they used to be. When we start doing that, sometimes guilt is tied to those thoughts. Well, I wish I had what I used to have, and I don't have that because I messed up, or I did this, or I did that. If you're going to live in your past, you'll die in your past. There's a lot more death than just a physical death. Amen. So here's David, and he's saying, I'm just in big trouble here. I feel like everything is taking me over. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. How many of you still believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. I believe in divine favor. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't think that anything is a coincidence or happened just because it happened. I've seen God do so many things that man would have said, no, that could never happen. That could never happen. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 7, it says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, and so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Sometimes we look at life and we say, well, I had a loss. I lost something. And you did. I'm sure you did. How many of you, you've lived around long enough, you've had some loss, and it took you some real time to work through it. Me too. I was talking to Frank the other day. Now, can I keep this real? Sometimes, just over 6 or 7 years, I've been criticized so much that I almost hesitate to say things because I don't want to offend anybody, but people are very easily offended in this world. I mean, but Frank and I were getting ready to build a home, and I am very adamant about one thing about this home, and here it is. I'm not going to have anything with this new home that even makes my mind think about anything that's ever gone on in my past. Why? Because I know that God has better. I know that He has better. I want you to leave here today knowing that He has better. He has more. Go with me to Job chapter 42. We're going to look at verse 10. In the beginning of Job, I'm going to read you a little bit of Job chapter 1. It says, "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified, and early in the morning he would sacrifice a burnt offering." And it goes on, but the gist of that is that Job was the greatest man in that area. He was upright. He did everything right. You can be a good person and have something bad happen. It's a classic question. Why do bad things happen to good people? It happens. How many of you got things that has gone on in your life and you don't know why, and you're sitting there saying, "God, why did that happen?" I've learned to stop questioning why. Because really the why is irrelevant to me, because Brenda, babe, I got to go on either way. So Job was upright. So Job chapter 42, verse 10, it says, so he had these friends, and the friends were not real great. Because they were very discouraging to Job. But in verse 10, after everything took place, the Lord told Job, "Pray for your friends." And after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as what he had before. Twice as much as what he had before. God can do more for you. Brenda, babe, are you in a place in your life where you say, "How do I have this life?" God can do more. He can always do more. He can do better. He can do above. He can do beyond anything that we can ever think. I don't want you to be a small thinker. If you're trapped in a way of thinking and you're got something in there where you just always want to refer to what's gone on in the past, you need to stop referring to the past. Because God wants to do something better, something greater, something more. I was ministering to these girls in the jail. And they all started just crying. Look here, if you're my worst enemy and you start your crying, I'm going to be crying with you. And I said, what do you think is the most important thing for you right now? And they all had some things that were real good. I said, you're on the right track. The most important thing for you right now is to know that God has something that you've never been able to have before. Everything that you thought that was not able to happen for you because you're here and you've made mistakes, God has something for you that you can't even imagine. And what you're going through right now is a drop in the bucket compared to the rest of your life. How many people here are over 80 years old? If you're over 80, I want you to raise your hand because you should be real happy. We've got some. I've known some of the most productive people are in their 80s, 90s. Brother Charlie, how old are you? How old are you, Brother Charlie? 78. He's been with us for over 30 years. How many of you know Archie Clayton? How many of you have ever worked beside Archie Clayton? He works around you. What about Bonice? Missy, how old is Bonice? 95. 96 in May. She's fixing to turn 96. Paul, 91. Wednesday. Here's the food distribution. I thought, I'm going to get all of our wonderful folks together. And I got Paul and Bonice together. Now, don't nobody get offended. But let me tell you, those two can work circles just around anybody way younger than them. What am I telling you? I don't care how old you are. God's got something better for you.
Amen.
He's got something better for you. Something better. Brother Charlie, is that your phone? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Brother Mike, tell him we don't want him leaving. We just want his phone to turn off. He probably don't know how to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. How many of you caught that part where your troubles are momentary?
Amen.
They're not lasting forever.
Amen.
They're not staying forever.
Amen.
They're momentary. Whatever you've got coming outweighs everything else. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Anybody remember these three houses over here? I know Brother Sam does because he used to have to manage them. Well, the church bought them many, many years ago. And we had one little lady, Miss Barbara, who we all love. And then the other two, we stopped renting those out because we knew there, God had a purpose for that land there. One of my jobs was to sell those houses. How many of you know it's hard to sell something that's just infested with roaches and bugs and the floors are caving in and all that nasty stuff? One day I got my nephew Evan over there, back when he still liked to hang out with Aunt Kelly. He's too grown for that now. That's what happens with these kids. They don't like to hang with you no more when they get, you know, old enough to drive a car. Kimber, you better not be like that. And we were trying to make this place look better. And there, it wasn't looking better, Billy. I said, here's what we're going to do. The carpet's really dirty. We're going to take up the carpet. I see some wood floor under here. Let's get to that. Took it off. I knew there was a problem because when I stepped on the porch, a bunch of roaches just like fled places. And I was like, and I don't do bugs. I don't like bugs. I don't like ants. I definitely don't like roaches. I don't like any bug. So we get up there, and I started tucking everything in because I believe that roaches can get into every nook and cranny you've got, and they want to come home with you and have a new home with you in your house. So I started tucking my socks up into my pants, got my shirt. I mean, I got everything tucked in, Johnny. I said, Evan, help Aunt Kelly get this carpet. We're going to take the carpet out. He said, you really think we ought to do that? I said, I really think that that's a great idea for us. Roll the carpet up. Brad, there was a huge hole in the floor where we could see the ground. I said, Evan, I still stand by that decision. I still think it was better to get the carpet up because the carpet was really dirty and it was holding in a smell. Anybody that walks on this floor, they would have fallen in anyways. I stand behind the carpet decision. I said, Evan, I think that all we need to do is sweep the floor. It'll look better. You can catch my drift here. I was trying everything to make what I could physically see better than what it was ever going to be. It wasn't happening. Then, my last genius idea of the day was I said, hold on, Evan. I've got the perfect plan. At this time, I just lived right over here. I said, I'm going to go get the leaf blower. And that's how we're going to get this house clean. We're just going to blow it all out the door. When I tell you that you have a lot of influence over these young kids, you do, because they will go along with almost anything, even when it's a terrible idea. They don't know any better. That's why we better be who we're supposed to be, and we better be half intelligent, because if we're not, everybody's going to suffer. So I go home. I get the leaf blower. We're all tucked in. I had my hair all done. So I was thinking, you know what? This is just, we're going to get through this in like 30 minutes. Me and Evan's going to be eating pizza by the time this is over. I started leaf blowing that house. Went all over us. All the cockroaches. All the everything. I had Carson with me. He was just a little bitty guy. Always had trouble getting him to want to take a bath when he was little. The one time he willingly does it is when we get done with this house. I said, y'all want to go to eat or do you want to take a shower? All of them. Let's just go take a shower, Aunt Kelly. So we all get in there. We all shower. Let's go back to this verse. This verse always reminds me of this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. A couple weeks later, this very sweet family came and they looked at this house. And I was thinking, Jimmy, Dad has given me an impossible job to do. Because this house ain't selling. It's not happening. I started thinking about my old job in the medical field and how it wasn't like this difficult. I was thinking, should I have quit that job? These houses aren't going to sell. You don't want me doing nothing else but putting my energy into these houses. And oh my gosh. This family comes in. The smell never left. The bugs never left. Nothing got any better with it. Okay? To me, what I was seeing was just a pile of junk that I needed off the property. Well, this guy came. He had a wife and three little kids. Just kind of a stepladder family. Just one little kid after another. They walked through that house. I said, now hold on, don't fall through that hole in the floor. That's a problem. He's like, I can do flooring. I'm not worried about it. I said, I don't know if you've noticed this yet. This place has got a roach problem. I don't know if you've noticed. They were everywhere. He's like, I know. We'll get it. They went through the rooms of this house. Well, this will be so-and-so's room. This will be our room. We're going to do this here in the kitchen. We're going to do this. See, a lot of times we're looking at things and we're saying, that's impossible. And God's saying, I'm going to make it possible, but I'm going to also make it a blessing.
Yes.
Sometimes what we're looking at is just, oh, woe is me. It's not woe is me. It's God wants to use that in our life to help someone else. How many of you down for helping somebody else? I'm glad to hear that because, see, God's always into helping you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The old has gone and the new has come. I'm a very big believer that you don't have to sell God to anybody. You don't got to sell God. I rarely even tell anybody I'm a pastor. Why? Because I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. Johnny, here's what I know. The first year, I told everybody I was a pastor. Everybody was uncomfortable. I'd sit down, they were like, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. Well, I just want to let you know I haven't been to church since I was 7 years old. I know I'm going to hell and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, look. I didn't say you're going to hell. And see, you already know you need to go to church. I'm not going to say anything to you about church. Here's what I know. I know if you'll be who you're supposed to be, God will take care of the rest.
Amen, he will.
He'll take care of the rest of it, Barbara.
Thank you.
I ain't got to sit here and... I just sat down with those girls. It was so funny because they were like, here we are in jail. And it was very cold in there. And had on some very thin pants. And there was nowhere to sit where they had us. They were embarrassed because they didn't have anywhere better to put me, and they're the ones in jail. I said, hey, girls, we're all just people up in here. I am not concerned about any of this. I said, let's all just sit on the floor. Indian style. You remember when we used to do that when we were little? We sat on that cold concrete floor. And Bobby, I was just able to tell them, not sell it to them, but tell them, God's got a whole new life for you. God's got something. Well, I know, but I've done this, this, and this, and this. God doesn't care what you did. God doesn't care what you did. God doesn't care all the mess that you made. What does he care about? You. What does he want? You. How much of you does he want? All of you. All of you. When he tells you that you can have a new life, you can have a new life. I know people in here, they've had a new life for a long time. But sometimes even in the middle of that new life, we'll have a moment or we'll have a trigger or we'll have something. And it'll bring us right back to something where we have a moment of pain from the past. I was driving in the car on the way to Fort Smith with our little granddaughter, Addison, the one I preached about Sunday night. Yes, I have a granddaughter. I actually have 7 grandchildren. I'm only 39. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow. I don't want any grandchildren for mine for a very long time. But when I married Frank, I inherited 7 grandchildren. And I get in the car with Addison, and Addison is a redhead. Y'all ever have any experience with redheaded people? I just thought I was hot-blooded and moody. That child. And we were all listening and bebopping to the radio. I was trying to be the cool grandma because I'm not sure what to do because I haven't been a grandma that long, you know. And this song came on. How many of you got a, let's just be humans here. How many of you got a song that you used to like and you don't like it anymore because it just reminds you of some things? I'm going to tell you something. I got that knob and I just turned it down. And Addison goes, what are you doing? I said, Addison, I'm going to tell you something. When God delivers you from something or somebody, there's just songs you don't want to hear ever again. What is that doing, Jimmy? Lord, I accept the new life every day. If I'm triggered, if I'm hurt, if I'm whatever, I'm not going to make the past my goal. God, I know that you can do more than that. God, I believe that you have more than that. If anybody's in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Last place for me this morning, Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 20. I think this is one of Sam's favorite verses. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Here's what we have to realize as a believer. The power of God is at work inside of our life. What is it working towards? Your good. Your good. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work for the good of those that love God. The power of God is at work in your life. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't feel it. Sometimes you don't know if it's there. But all of your feelings aren't facts about it, because at the end of the day, the fact is, he is doing something. He is working on something. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Don't make the past your goal. And there's one area because I'm very aware of things that I used to not be aware of, Billy. It's because I've had some life experiences. People say, well, Pastor Kelly, you know, I've lost a loved one, so how can my life be greater than it was before? They're not here with me. Here's what I say to you. They can't come down here back to you. But you can go to them. Make that your goal. Make it your goal. Make it your goal. Make it your goal. Y'all stand to your feet. We've got some strawberries back there. Golden eggs. I say they're golden because I could have sold them on the black market and probably made bookers of money. Well, there's eggs back there, some carrots, some other things, strawberries. We only need one member of the household back there because it's kind of cramped, but everybody can have one of each item. If we run out of eggs, I've got more. We just didn't take them all out. I am preaching this evening at 5:30. I want y'all to all be able to go to the restaurant and get there first today. I want you to know a miracle has occurred. I have let out like 18 minutes early. Jeff is like looking at me like, is she sick? I'm not sick. I'm well. I'm just not going to drag it out this morning. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for everybody here. Lord, I ask that you would bless each one. God, you know where they need the blessing, Lord, and I thank you that you're protecting them this week. God, that you're making your face to shine upon them. You're giving us peace right now. And Lord, I ask that you would make us to be a blessing to everyone that we encounter this week. God, in Jesus' name, amen.